And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, on the radio, across British Columbia and around the world on our podcast. We are very excited to bring you our first show of 2024. And today we're bringing you stories of four different regions across British Columbia. These are must spots for any of you planning to travel to BC Wine Country this year. But before we get to that, just a quick reminder, the Vancouver International Wine Festival, tickets are going fast for the public tasting sessions. And tickets for the festival dinners, perhaps the hottest tickets in town, have just gone on sale, and we don't expect that they'll be around very long. You can make your dinner reservations at vanwinefest.ca, and I suggest you do it as soon as you can. Don't forget, over 65 Italian wineries will be in the city. There are a lot of Italian events going on, so if you want to get in, this is the week to get in and secure yourself a seat to some of these fantastic events. Now, as the year rolls on, let's face it, it's got to be a better year than last year. We're going to be talking to people across British Columbia. We're expecting to get updates on all the vineyards that struggled last year that most say will be in top shape this spring as the buds burst for a new year. Always one of the best times, one of the most exciting times in a vineyard is during the spring when those first leaves come out and the buds break and we find out, you know, what's going to happen that season. So we'll be following all that. Of course, Asian New Year's coming up. We'll be talking about what goes on there, where to go, where to eat, what foods are available. Valentine's Day, of course, is here, and Dine Out Vancouver is just around the corner. So there's a lot to think about and a lot that we'll be covering, of course, and we'll be covering wine from A to Z around the world for you every week on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Now, on the show today, four British Columbia winemakers who are leading the charge in four different appellations in BC join us to talk wine. We're going to speak with Bradley Makepeace. He's a winemaker at Hugging Tree Winery in the Similkameen Valley. Bradley has just released his first Blanc de Blanc sparkling wine. We're very impressed with that, and we are encouraging him to keep going with Blanc de Blanc sparkling wine. We love it. Brie Tour, winemaker from French Door Estate Winery in the Black Sage Bench. She joins us to talk about one of the most underrated grapes in British Columbia, and a high-scoring one at that. Leandro Nocel, he's the winemaker at Tinhorn Creek Vineyards on the Golden Mile Bench. He also has a Blanc de Blanc sparkling wine that we're going to talk about, as well as the many changes that are going on at Tinhorn. But up next, Shane Munn, winemaker at Martin's Lane Winery, located on the newly named South Kelowna Slopes, joins us to talk Pinot Noir and Riesling. All that and more next on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan. The place for winter adventure and Okanagan wine. Enjoy champagne powder and après-ski at Apex Mountain or Baldy Resort, or step into cross-country skiing at Nickel Plate Nordic Center. After a day in the snow, slow down and experience one of over 80 nearby wineries with an intimate winter wine tasting. Before you go to Penticton, make sure to check the website for information on tasting room hours, winter highway, and ski hill conditions. And for more trip inspiration, go to visitpenticton.com.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Your favorite wines delivered right to your door. It's easy when you become a Liber Estates Rebel. Rebel Wine Club members enjoy regular shipments of Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings, VIP treatment at the winery, and more. And with easy and convenient online ordering, your wine will be at your door before you know it. Discover more at LiberEstates.com. Simply great wine.
Your next corporate event or retreat deserves the best. The Watermark Beach Resort. With conference spaces to host large or small gatherings, they can create your perfect event or gathering. Enjoy the culinary excellence of 15 Park Bistro, open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Make sure to follow them on Instagram and Facebook at 15 Park Bistro for the latest updates on their brand new dinner series. To make a reservation or learn more about events at Watermark, just go to watermarkbeachresort.com.
One of the best things about drinking wine today is that inexpensive wine has never been better. Helping you to improve your wine knowledge and find great buys in the marketplace has been a lifelong goal of mine because once you become a savvy shopper, you can influence retailers to start selling better wines at better prices. So learning just a little bit more about wine can improve the local selection in your neighborhood. I'm Anthony Gismondi and I invite you to visit us at gismondionwine.com to become a savvy shopper and drink better wine.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money. We just want to make the world dance. Forget about the price.
Hello, British Columbia, and Happy New Year across the province to our network of 25 cities. So on the first show of the new year, we're focusing on a selection of British Columbia wineries to look out for in 2024. In this discussion, we head to East Kelowna and talk to one of BC's truly dynamic winemakers. Shane Munn is a unique character, to say the least, and the winemaker who Anthony Von Mandel handpicked to lead the charge at his top-end East Kelowna winery, Martin's Lane. You might even say this was a masterclass on Pinot Noir, as we recall a conversation we had with Shane in the Windy Vineyards. Here again is Shane Munn, winemaker of Martin's Lane. Welcome to the show.
Nice to be here.
Thanks for coming south. Come down, experience a little heat.
Yeah. It's a couple of degrees colder, warmer down here.
Yeah, I would say so. How are you doing?
Wonderful.
Yeah? Did you have a good break?
Yeah.
Sort of?
Did a bit of camping over the weekend around Arrow Lake.
Uh-huh.
Jumped in a 10-degree lake
just to
freshen up. Apparently it's good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, you look fantastic.
It's done nothing for my hair.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about Riesling today, because you brought a wine, which is great. We can talk about different styles, different ages, all kinds of things, because Riesling's pretty versatile. So let's start with Sperling Vineyard, because it's new to the lineup.
Yes, new to the family. Our company acquired Sperling Vineyards in September last year, So literally about 2 weeks before harvest, And so, probably the jewel in their vineyard crown is their Old Vines Riesling, planted in 1978. That's sort of I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
It's when you hear that.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things, like, 45 years old? You don't, as a winemaker, just turn up and get the luxury of working with vines that old. And it's not just those 45-year-old vines. I work with Anne Sterling about 20 years ago in Niagara, and working alongside her, I guess, opened my eyes into organics and biodynamics and that sort of stuff, which she is, the queen of those areas in Canada.
Yeah.
And I haven't looked back since, so she's probably one or two or three people in my career that has really, I'd say, has mentored me, and sort of you look back and your career wouldn't be what it is without her.
Yeah. So, because you're a pretty serious dude.
Yeah. Deeply serious.
Yeah. We like that about you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what did you expect with an old vine? You're not working with vines that old. So, what are you getting or seeing, or what's happening in this vineyard that could be happening in yours as the years go by?
I guess it's one of those things one of the things I think you find with old vines is a density and a core of fruit and a length of flavor that you don't get with younger vines. And often doesn't show through until the wine is finished, like it's finished fermenting or you've actually put it in bottle. And that's, so I guess side by side with this, it's a similar style to our Symes Vineyard Riesling, which is off dry, low alcohol.
Yeah.
This is the sweetest Riesling we've ever made, but it happens to be the highest acid Riesling we've ever made. So, and when you try it alongside the Simons Vineyard Riesling, which is from vines that are about 22 years younger, there's an intensity of fruit and a delicacy with the Simons, but there's a core of fruit here that you just can't beat. And you know,
wow,
like I think it's 32 degrees down here today. I mean, I'd probably serve this as cold as you could get it. It's warming up quickly. It's 10.9% alcohol, but you know, I think this is probably, of all the wines you'll try today, it's probably the one that's best suited to this environment on this day.
So, just for the geeks, what is the total acidity and the residual sugar in this wine? Because it's quite balanced.
Yeah, which you know, that's the key to any wine, should have balance and that sort of stuff, whether it's wine, food, anything. This has 35 grams per liter residual sugar.
Yeah.
10 grams of acid, which you kind of, you don't taste, you feel it.
Yeah.
And it's got about 6 hours skin contact, so there's a phenolic structure there that I think helps moderate both of those, and it brings the perception of sweetness down, which kind of one of those things you always want with, you see that with good Mosel Rieslings.
Well, I feel you in a good way in this wine because I'm not supposed to, you don't get involved in the wines, but there's a lighter character to this wine and a fresher character than I think I'm used to.
Like and I think that was the fun thing is directing the wine in this style. Like really, we didn't set out. That's my flight.
That's your flight. you got to get back up to Kelowna. cool down. Yeah,
a little biplane.
Yeah,
gonna,
we like it.
It's going to land on our driveway.
Yeah.
The wine directed itself into the style, really. So, like, the Fruit Command 2022 was a wonderful harvest. They had the potential to be a terrible harvest, but fall just kept on going for, like, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And we retained so much acidity, and it's the first harvest in our short history where you almost waited for the acidity to drop to harvestable levels because it was unharvestable, like, at that time. So we would typically, on a regular harvest, pick by vineyard. So, for example, we'd typically start with Fritzi's vineyard, pick the Pinot Noir and the Riesling, then maybe Naramata, pick the Pinot Noir and the Riesling. 2022 was the complete opposite. We picked all our Pinot Noir, bit of a break, and then the Riesling once the acidities had dropped. But that's the dynamic nature of farming in the Okanagan, the fun part of it. It's not easy, but
no,
winemaking is never supposed to be easy.
That wine is delicious, man. Yeah. Like, it's really, it's really got a,
it
has energy, you know, that's what I like
it's
about
it. Yeah, it's got depth. Like, the fruit was not exuberant at all.
No.
You know, the fruit came in, you think, it's a bit boring, you know, but, you know, you could tell it was ripe and that sort of stuff. And so it's not fruity. I don't like fruity wines. I kind of think there's a delicacy and a floralness that I think will come in time. This is released next week. But I think, you know, it'll drink like I guess the inspiration for this was like Mosel style Rieslings that, you know, Germans release them straight away.
I was just going to say that it's,
and, you know, it'll drink well on release. But I think it could sell out, you know, probably 10, 15 years plus easily. So, yeah.
And the alcohol was?
10.9.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, you can have that for lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
And go back to work.
You have two glasses.
Yeah.
So,
if you had to go back to work.
Yeah, yeah.
We're working anyway, so we could just have it.
I've just got to jump on my plane. So.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to Taylor a little earlier about, you know, when things are going on in the north of Kelowna. What are you happy with what's happening with the way it's been divided up? And
yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, we'll start putting like those sub GIs on our back label. I mean, it's not absolutely crucial for us that, you know, as a key marketing thing. I mean, to me, the key things that tell the story of our wines is the vintage and the vineyard and that kind of stuff. So, like, I guess we're distilling it down to the focus on, you know, this is going to be a single vineyard wine, but, you know, where our brand is developing, especially with Pinot Noirs, is into smaller single block bottlings. And, you know, they're all from the same GI as the single vineyard. But I think that's where the fun attribute, you know, provenance is important with wines like ours and that kind of thing. So,
okay, we killed that. And it's delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way to go.
Onto the second bottle.
So people can pick this up now. It's going to be available now, so there's no problem.
Yeah,
is it best to buy through?
Through the wine club.
I
guess a small amount might be available to regular folk if they're not wine club members after that. But my guess at producing only 200 cases is it might get sucked up by the wine club.
So. Okay. Julius. I don't know anything about Julius. What do I need to know about Julius?
Well, it was either this or Julius. I thought Sperling Vineyards Riesling might be a bit more suitable to the weather.
Yeah.
But Julius is probably a close second. Julius is a wine we made for the first time last year in 2021. And how it came about is wanting to make one of those styles of wines that that I like to drink. So unlike our Pinot Noirs, they get a long maceration and then a long élevage in barrel. Julius is a short maceration red, only 12 days in the fermenter, and then just 4 months in barrel. None of it's new, and rather uniquely, it's a co-fermentation of Pinot Noir with Riesling. So it's mostly Pinot Noir.
Wow.
So 80% Pinot, 20% Riesling. The Riesling, I don't think, adds much in the way of character, but it adds a lightness. It brings more acidity. It's finer and lighter and juicy. So, and like our off dry Rieslings, the 2022 Julius will be released next month. So it's trying to capture the vivid fruit and the freshness.
Yeah.
You could serve it slightly chilled because the tannin is not complex tannin like in our Pinot Noirs. It's fine, juicy tannin, so it's just
you're not going soft up there, are you, Shane?
No. It's just trying to just trying to cover all the bases without having to make rosé.
Yeah. That is, oh my God, I just love that honesty. So great.
Well, I think you see here, you're going to try some pretty cool rosés. I think you'll try more rosés. I like to kind of
you don't want to muscle in on that.
Creator rather than added disturber, is that it?
Disturber, good. Everybody's disruptive and disturbing today, so that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Shane, it's so great to see you. Enjoy the summer. I hope you go. Can you get to go sailing or anything?
I can't sail. I'm one of those New Zealanders that
doesn't sail,
doesn't surf, and doesn't ski. Wow. So I usually just go camping and read books.
That's why your wines are so fine. You just work endlessly.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Look forward to the next time.
That was Shane Munn, winemaker at Martin's Lane in Kelowna. Still to come on our British Columbia wineries to look out for in 2024. Leandro Nozell, lead winemaker, Tinhorn Creek Vineyards on the Golden Mile Bench.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
What happens when you combine the finest wine grapes with a uniquely rocky terroir? Clos du Soleil invites you to discover the answer. Located in the heart of the Similkameen Valley, Clos du Soleil have dedicated themselves to crafting wines that are a true reflection of this wild and beautiful place. Elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, where the spirit of the Similkameen speaks through every bottle. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
Hi, this is Paige Schultz, Marketing Manager at Visit Penticton. Apex Mountain, just 30 minutes away from Penticton, is calling you this winter. Joining me is Kat Bulkin, Sales and Marketing Manager at Apex Mountain Resort. Kat, what makes Apex such a great hidden gem?
Apex offers incredible terrain with over 80 runs, half that are advanced and 4 terrain parts, plus short lift lines on our 4 ski lifts and dry champagne powder. We also host some fantastic events, such as our annual Brewski Festival.
Brewski, that sounds fun. Can you tell us more about that?
There's over 20 breweries which will be showcasing their craft beers all through the Gun Barrel, and you're invited to sample as many as you want throughout the evening. Paired with food from the Gun Barrel Saloon and taking place on March 2nd from 6 to 10 p.m.
Amazing. Thanks, Kat.
You're welcome.
Plan your winter vacation to Penticton now. For information on Brewski and all other upcoming festivals, events, and activities in Penticton, go to visitpenticton.com.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature-controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
Join Anthony Gismondi and BC Food and Wine Radio at the 45th Vancouver International Wine Festival, February 24th to March 3rd, 2024. Discover Italy at the International Festival Tastings, featuring 149 wineries from 12 countries. Tickets are on sale now. Plus, get a free tasting ticket worth up to $135 when you book a downtown hotel via stayvancouverhotels.com. Don't wine and drive. The festival runs February 24th to March 3rd at the Vancouver Convention Center and other venues. Full details at vanwinefest.ca.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
You watch me bleed until I can't breathe. Shaking, falling onto my knees. And now that I'm without your kisses.
Hello, British Columbia, and Happy New Year with a shout out to Vancouver and all 25 cities in total on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. On the show today, we begin the new year with a look at some of British Columbia wineries that we think you should keep an eye on in 2024. Leandro Nosal is someone who in 2021, upon his arrival at Tin Horn Creek, immediately put his stamp on the vineyards and the wines. He grew up in Mendoza, Argentina, one of the great wine capitals, and was exposed to the culture of wine early on in life by his winemaking mother. Nosal has worked as a winemaker at the highly regarded Checkmate Artisanal Winery, and was involved in the opening of the innovative Red Barn at Jagged Rock project. He's got an agricultural engineering degree as well as a Master of Science in Viticulture and Enology. Here's our conversation with lead winemaker Leandro Nosal at Tin Horn Creek Vineyards on the Golden Mile Bench. Leandro, how are you?
Good. And you, Anthony?
I'm really well. Are you picking, not picking today? How's it going? What's happening at Tin Horn with the harvest?
Well, I think we're kind of halfway through harvest. We just finished all our whites and rosé, and we're getting ready to start the second half that's going to be all our reds. It's been an interesting harvest. Started fairly early. We started around the end of August, August 20th, with some of the whites that we use for our sparkling program, and then it was steady until 2 days ago when we just finished pressing the last grape for our rosé.
Wow. You've been doing a great job with Chardonnay. I want to talk a bit about that, but let's talk about the pick of Chardonnay. So you up and down the rows, what is it you're looking for in the Chardonnay grapes today at Tin Horn?
Picking is always the most important decision. It's like if you get it right, then you're set for success. If you get it wrong, it can be quite difficult then to make a good wine. And a year especially like this, where it's been kind of hot, I think it's key to be ready to take the fruit at the right time. Yeah. I tend to be an early picker. I want to capture as much acidity and freshness from the fruit. And then once I have that, can capture that for the grapes, I can take care of the wine in the cellar, and I'm sure I'm going to be able to make a good wine. Chardonnay is all about freshness. Obviously, we're in the southern part of the valley, so it's not Chablis. It's kind of a little warmer. But we want to make sure that our shards are going to have a good acidity that's going to give good length to the wines.
Yeah. The Chardonnay in particular has changed quite a bit. Well, let's say it's been tweaked quite a bit at Tin Horn Creek now. As you say, it's a much fresher style. For me, there's more lees, there's more complexity, there's less oak, but more interesting oak. The oak that's there is more interesting, and it's still under screw cap. So I just sort of love the whole package. Are you pretty happy with where it's at?
I think we're trucking in the right direction. Definitely, we adjust a little bit our oak program. For the state wine that we make, we reduce it significantly, the amount of oak, and we're working with a lot of lees. We want to build that meat palate And the right way to do it is working with the lees. And obviously, we're also working a lot in the vineyards. That's a key for us to make sure that the fruit that comes into the cellar have good quality and good flavors that then we can work with.
Yeah, well, for our listeners, honestly, $25 Chardonnay in BC is hard to find, and one of this quality is almost impossible to find. So this is a great wine to reach out for with a reasonable production. I know things are down this year, but it's a pretty good-sized production of Chardonnay out there for people to buy.
Yeah, I had to say that Chard, obviously with the winter that we had, suffered a little bit, but we are happy with the amount of fruit that we were able to pick this year for Chardonnay. So
yeah,
those are good news.
Yeah. Let's switch gears a bit and talk about something even more interesting for me is this Blanc de Blanc Chardonnay that you've put together, a sparkling wine that's really turning heads. Tell us about this wine and what you're trying to achieve with it.
Well, you know, I love Chardonnay, and one of the reasons why I like this variety is because you can make very different wines, even working with just one grape grows in the same site, and it's all about the farming and the picking time. We really believe that we can make an outstanding sparkling wine with Chardonnay. That's why since 2018, we started to make a Blanc de Blanc, and we're playing with a good length of aging. So we give it 36 months on lees in bottle.
Great.
Before we do the disgorging and a small dosaging. We want to make something that is it has some flexibility, so it has a little bit of fruit, but also shows some nice aging aromas like brioche, and had a little bit of yeasty character that make it a little more interesting and refined. But at the same time, it's very approachable.
Our guest is Leandro Nocel. He's the winemaker at Tinhorn Creek. And I understand that you'll make a vintage Blanc de Blanc in great years, and you'll make a non-vintage when you don't think it's the top of the heap. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, so 2019 was the last vintage product, and after that we're going to be focusing in a non-vintage. Also, that is more interesting for us because it gives us the opportunity to blend different...
Yeah.
Yeah, different vintages. We believe that we can make a better product that way. And obviously, if there is an amazing year and we think, okay, this is outstanding, we can make a vintage product, we will make it.
Okay, let's talk about one of my favorite grape varieties. That's Cabernet Franc. You've done an amazing job with that. How do you see Cabernet Franc stepping up in British Columbia? And what are you going to do at Tinhorn with it? Or what are you doing, I guess?
Well, I think that many of the winemakers and wine growers here in the southern part of the valley, we understand, and we have come to discover that Cab Franc is one of the best varieties to grow. It gives consistent good quality year after year. So for us, it's a good thing that Tinhorn Creek bet on Cab Franc very early, one of the first wineries in the valley. So to me, it's a fantastic opportunity to kind of tap in that tradition. Currently, we're making three Cabernet Francs. People know the state and the reserve one, but also we have a small production that we call Barrel Lot series. And that basically is a barrel selection. So we choose our top 5 to 6 barrels, and we bottle separately. But also we are planting new vineyards with Cab Franc. Last year, we put 7 acres at the property with 2 nice plants from the Loire Valley that we're hoping to be able to pick next year, the first crop. And we also plan to use different vessels, that is to produce different Cab Franc expressions from the valley, our two main vineyards, but also play with different vessels so consumers can kind of taste how this variety works, if it is aging oak, if it is not aging oak, just to give it like it could show a good picture of the amazing qualities of this variety.
That's so great. Listen, the 2020 reserve was a silver medal winner at the National Wine Awards. The 2021 regular was a gold medal winner at the 23. So I'm hoping for a platinum next year from you guys at the 24 awards.
I hope so, that too. Thank you. Yeah. No pressure, but yeah.
Yeah, no pressure.
And I have to say, the most important part for us is that we're having new vineyards that when they come in line are going to produce very good fruit. So that's going to be key for us to then make good wines.
We're talking with Leandro Nocell. He's the winemaker at Tin Horn Creek Vineyards on the Golden Mile Bench. At the moment, also the winery is engaged in a pretty cool project. You're giving 75 cents a bottle to help restore the vital kelp forests along the BC coast, which I think is a really noble thing. That's a great idea.
Yeah, exactly. So sustainability has been always something very important. Sandra Oldfield worked very hard for the wine to be sustainable and was the first Canadian winery to be certified as carbon neutral. And we want to continue working that tradition. We have many different projects, and one of them is this collaboration project that we have.
Yeah, I'm sure Sandra would be very happy to hear that. Before I let you go, you've got a 30 anniversary box, too, which looks kind of fun. Three bottles of 21 Merlot, 22 Chardonnay, 22 Pinot Gris, and 21 Pinot Noir to celebrate 30 years in the wine business. Boy, it goes fast. Well, maybe not so fast for you, but for me, it seems like a shot. finally,
yes.
So are you still open? Can people still visit? What's happening at Tin Horn during the harvest?
Yes, we're open. We're going to reduce our hours in the fall. So starting in October, we're going to be open Thursday to Sunday. It's kind of get a little bit more quiet, so it makes sense for us to just to focus in lower number of days, but making sure that we can offer a good service and be there for people who want to come and taste and enjoy our wines.
That was Leandro Nocell, winemaker, Tin Horn Creek Vineyards. Up next, Bree Tour, winemaker at French Door Estate Winery on the sagebrush-laden Black Sage Bench in Oliver, British Columbia.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Escape to Tin Horn Creek Vineyards on the captivating Golden Mile Bench in the heart of Oliver's wine country. Their wine shop awaits you Thursdays through Sundays from 11:30 to 4:30. Embrace the season with their Blanc de Blanc Sparkling, adding a lively note to your winter wanderings. Explore the wonders of the South Okanagan, where nature's beauty meets the art of winemaking. Plan your visit at tinhorn.com. Ready to welcome you.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Visit Penticton this winter for mountain adventures and South Okanagan wine. Experience the quieter time of year at one of the nearby wineries that stay open year-round and enjoy an intimate winter wine tasting. Stop into the Penticton Visitor Center for discounted lift tickets to Apex Mountain Resort for a day in the snow. Penticton is the perfect destination for your winter getaway. Before you go, check the website for information on wine tours, tasting room hours, and webcams for current conditions. Go to visitpenticton.com.
Hi, this is Anthony Gismondi with 2 minutes on how to track down that wine you enjoyed so much last night. Where can I buy that wine is a question I'm often asked because locating it is never all that apparent in our convoluted retail wine market with so many options out there. So where does one start the search for that elusive bottle? Well, don't forget to take a picture of the label. That will help. Then consider that wine is sold in numerous brick-and-mortar locations in BC, most notably government BC liquor stores. A recent search of bcliquorstores.com turned up 198 locations across BC, from Victoria and Vancouver in the south to Kelowna or Soyuz in the Okanagan and up north to Fort St. John. So there's likely one or more BC liquor stores in your town ready to serve you today. Private liquor stores are a great option. Liberty Wine Merchants, Jack's, The Angry Otter, Everything Wine, they all have multiple locations around the Lower Mainland and on Vancouver Island. Other one-off private wine merchants like Marquee Wine Cellars in downtown Vancouver, Vessel Liquor in Victoria, or Cask and Barrel in Kelowna are solid options too, with a knowledgeable staff and a wide selection of many hard-to-find wines. They can also suggest replacement wines that are similar to style of the wine you're looking for. Grocery stores are the latest to retail in BC, one of the most prominent players is Save-On Foods. They have 22 locations in British Columbia, and they offer the province's largest selection of VQA wines with over 1,300 SKUs. Plus, they have the best wine discounts when you buy four or more bottles. Who doesn't want to save some money? Your next choice is to go direct to the winery website and order online. It's a brilliant option, as often you'll find wine online that's only available via the winery website. And wineries have upped their game online since the pandemic. Most have become very efficient at processing your order and shipping it within days right to your front door. As a result, buying wine has never been simpler. For Gizmondi on Wine, I'm Anthony Gizmondi.
Your favorite wines delivered right to your door. It's easy when you become a Liber Estates Rebel. Rebel Wine Club members enjoy regular shipments of Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings, VIP treatment at the winery, and more. And with easy and convenient online ordering, your wine will be at your door before you know it. Discover more at LiberEstates.com. Simply great wine.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gizmondi.
Baby, you light up my world like nobody else. The way that you flip your hair gets me overwhelmed.
Hello, British Columbia. Shout out to all points east to west on our network of 25 cities enjoying the show each week across this beautiful province we call home. Joining us now from a conversation we had in spring 2023 is Bree Tour, winemaker at French Door Estate Winery on the Black Sage Bench. The wines were impressive right out of the gate from tasting notes at Gizmondi on Wine. 92 points for both the French Door Heritage French Blend 2020 and 92 points for the French Door Merlot 2021. If you know our website, those are very high marks. Here's our discussion with Bree Tour. Hello, Bree. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Anthony. Thank you.
Are you having fun in Vancouver? You look like you've been having fun.
I know. I've been having a blast.
It's kind of nice to meet the people who actually buy your wine and taste your wine.
It's amazing. I've been really enjoying interacting with all the customers, old fans, new fans.
What do you learn from them in a show like this? Is there something that you learn from them a lot?
I think I learn why people like wine and why people buy it. Everybody's got a different reason, but main takeaway is enthusiasm and celebration. It's so great.
Yeah, I guess I'm wondering, are you surprised why some people buy your wine or don't? Or
I mean, it is a mix, but I think wine's for everybody, and I think we make something approachable.
Yeah. Okay, well, French Door is a relatively new winery, so why don't we tell people exactly where you are and maybe just a little bit about the winery.
Sure. French Door Winery, we're in our third tasting room season and our fourth vintage coming up. It's owned and operated with a really amazing, benevolent family, the Shulls. Mm-hmm. They bought Monte Carn Winery and refabbed the whole place and put some new vines in, and we're off to the races. Our focus is on Southern French style winemaking with a South Okanagan typicity. So we're really going for something unique and elegant and bringing some refined wines to the South Okanagan. It's great.
Yeah, they're off to a great start. By the way, Monte Carn, you're right beside Le Vieux Penn, which is maybe more well known to people, so they can visit both wineries pretty easily.
True, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. How about you? You've had quite an interesting life already in the wine business. You've been some hot spots.
I know. I feel like a ninja. Like, I've had some really lucky circumstances, and I've been blessed with amazing mentors, which has been great. I started at Blue Grouse with Bailey Williamson.
Yeah.
I went to Tinhorn Creek with Andrew Windsor, Yangara, Peter Fraser, Dirty Laundry, Mason Spink, and now I'm with Pascal Madovan. I mean, it's great.
You've had some wonderful mentoring.
Definitely.
I really like that Yangara stop.
Me too. That was life-changing for me. It was a kind of, they're a massive winery, but doing such site-specific, biodynamic, really craft wines on a large scale makes you really think about the process in a different light.
And amazing farmers. Eh? The Australians really, when they go in a vineyard with an Australian, you learn a lot real quick.
Oh my God, yeah. Like, they're working with a lot of climate challenges and topography challenges, but they also are blessed with being able to be own-rooted.
Mm-hmm.
So the vineyards are just stunning.
Okay, let's talk about this white wine, because when I've been around here for quite a long time, and probably for the first 30 years, there was no Sauvignon Blanc at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, there's a bit of an explosion, and some of them are coming out like yours, which are just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about Sauvignon Blanc and how you work with it.
Well, the way I see Sauvignon Blanc, it likes its feet dry. So it's on limestone, it's on clay, it's on granite, and we're on 200 feet of sand in Oliver, so I don't really see a difference there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really bring out some fruit concentration. It crops really well. And I don't want to be afraid to push the aromatics on it. And then also it has the capability to do that mid-palate. So with this Sauvignon Blanc, mm-hmm. Where I'm able to split the lot into neutral barrel and stainless steel barrel and just have a bit of fluidity with that partial mallow, a little bit of oak. So you're getting that gooseberry, that green mango, but then the mid-palate's just got that lovely creaminess. And I just think it balances it out so well. And I'm excited because it's not Marlboro, it's not Sancerre. I really feel like Oliver's developing a Sauvignon Blanc identity. You know, you've got Andrew Windsor at Maverick that is also doing single varietals in such a beautiful way.
Yep.
And we're finding out that our terroir that's been touted as this big red boom since the 90s is actually really handling white wines really well.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. Well, I learned that sort of from Jagged Rock, from that vineyard, because I kept tasting all these white wines from Jagged Rock and wondering, well, it's right in the middle of the hot country, and yet those wines, there was something going on there special with white, so you have nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, a lot of people have gooseberry, but when you say green mango, then boom, we talk about a serious, interesting Sauvignon Blanc, maybe a little sagebrush or some sort of dusty thing going on,
mm-hmm.
and away we go. We have the real thing. It's fantastic. I'm really excited about this wine.
Me too.
This is a 2021. Yeah. What is it? It's about $35 or what?
$35 retail, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the best way to buy French Door wines is?
Joining our wine club, obviously.
Joining the wine club. Well, it's not so obvious to some consumers, but yeah. So that secures your supply, I guess.
I think so. And it also secures it for the consumer as well. You know, I just recently started joining wine clubs. And although at first it feels like a commitment, it really does let you build your cellar and explore and commit to a brand that you like.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. But we are available in Cascadias and Jack's and all over. We work with BC Wine Shop, who are an amazing agency, and they've done a really good job distributing the product.
You're probably the first winemaker I've met who actually knows the price of her wine and where it's available. That's fantastic.
I see life in
you'll
Excel.
You'll get over that.
Maybe.
Okay, now Merlot, another one of my favorite varieties in BC. I think it's been much maligned and underused. So you brought us a lovely bottle of 2019. Tell us about your Merlot and what you're doing with that.
Well, I can speak to this wine in terms of blending it and supervising the past vintages that another winemaker was responsible for. But I think that the brand and the direction that the Merlot is going in, I'll keep consistent with. So we are in organic transition in the vineyard. So we're not using any insecticides, fungicides, or pesticides. We're doing all mechanical, handmade wine.
Mm-hmm.
The Merlot in this blend, this variety, sorry, is 100% from the estate. With Merlot, I really like to push fruit in Merlot. We do really intense tannin development as well. Making Merlot smooth is all about getting that tannin and color to bind.
Yeah.
We are really oxidative winemaking at French Door. We ferment in large oak vats called tonneaux, which gets it rolling really good. And just the barrel program is lovely, and I love this Merlot.
When you say oxidative, let's talk to the consumer. What does that mean for them?
Right. So oxygen is a catalyst for a lot of enzymatic reactions that are happening in fermentation.
Yeah.
It's kind of the lifeblood that has everything that binds color and tannin, develops flavor, rounds and softens the wine. And oxidation is something that happens naturally in barrels. That's why people put wine in barrels as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a little pre-aging, too, I would
totally.
Guess. Say. Like, so when they open the bottle, it's already got a bit of oxygen on it through the process, and it's a little easier to take right out of the gate.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Although I would suggest it's more of a 5 to 7 year wait kind of wine, and then,
every winemaker would love to do that, but when we're so small production, cash flow is important right now, so.
No, we do it at home. We wait.
Yeah. I think that this wine can cellar for a long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I drink, my goal is to sort of drink 10-year-old wine because I... you know, 7 to 10 is such a great sweet spot. And it doesn't take a lot of work for people to... It's already 2019, so there's 2022, 23, a couple of years, and away you go. So you just have to plan a bit.
Yeah,
and,
easy.
And put some other stuff at the front door so you don't go into the cellar.
Well, yeah, the time's going to pass anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you hope to do at French Door down the road? What's your vision for that property?
I'm really into exploring more Rhone varietals. You know, I'm really curious to see how Grenache Blanc and Bourbalanc will do in the South Okanagan. And we just planted.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah. And that's another Peter Fraser thing. But yeah. We just planted more Grenache, more Mourvèdre. I've got Fourth Leaf Since So coming on this year. And just working with these varieties that I got to work with in Australia and seeing them, you know, have success here is so exciting. And we're really young in the Okanagan in terms of terroir and winemaking. We've only been doing it 35 years. So yeah. We're kind of being part of that identity building is awesome. And I really think that the winemakers that are making wine today that are a little bit younger, I don't think there's been a generation of winemakers in the Okanagan that has been this educated before.
Yeah, totally. I can tell you that's the truth.
Yeah.
Which is great, mm-hmm. you know, but it takes time.
Definitely, yeah.
I remember, you know, 20 years ago when John Symes came and he was kind of the big, you know, first savior. And he said, you know, Tony, it's going to take 20 years because he said you got to have a certain amount of mass before you can attract the best.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that gets going, then away we go. And now we know that BC is definitely on the world wine map.
Absolutely.
And a lot of young people are saying, hey, maybe I should go there and make a wine or two and see what's going on. And
yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. They're coming for your job now.
Oh, well, they're welcome to it.
Well, maybe not. It's really great chatting to you today, Bree.
Always a pleasure, Anthony. Thank you.
That was Bree Tour, a winemaker from French Door Estate Winery on the Black Sage Bench. Definitely a winery to keep on your radar for 2024. Still to come, Bradley Makepeace, winemaker, Hugging Tree Winery in the wild and windy Similkameen Valley.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Hi, this is Paige Schultz, Marketing Manager at Visit Penticton. Did you know that Apex Mountain Resort is just 30 minutes away from Penticton? Joining me is James Shulman, General Manager at Apex Mountain Resort. James, what makes Apex such a great winter destination?
Apex offers incredible terrain with over 80 runs, short lift lines, and beautiful champagne powder, plus tubing and skating. We also host some fantastic events such as Vertical and Vintages.
Vertical and Vintages. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
It's an incredible social evening of wine tasting taking place February 3rd from 6 to 10 p.m. All the participating wineries are from the South Okanagan, which is home to over 300 wineries. The Gumbrel Saloon will also be providing an array of tasty appetizers to pair with your wines.
Amazing. Thanks, James.
You're most welcome.
Plan your vacation now. For information on all events and activities in Penticton, and for those looking to visit this winter, go to visitpenticton.com.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
What happens when you combine the finest wine grapes with a uniquely rocky terroir? Clos du Soleil invites you to discover the answer. Located in the heart of the Similkameen Valley, Clos du Soleil have dedicated themselves to crafting wines that are a true reflection of this wild and beautiful place. Elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, where the spirit of the Similkameen speaks through every bottle. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
British Columbia, and welcome back to the show. Joining us now is Bradley Makepeace, winemaker, Hugging Tree Winery in the Similkameen Valley. The Hugging Tree sites are among the warmest in the valley and offer varied micro terroirs that allow for a broader portfolio of wines reflecting the valley's exceptional stony, windy, wild terroir. Bradley's been experimenting with a sparkling Blanc de Blanc, and we were pretty impressed with his first offering. This is a winery and most certainly a region to visit in 2024. Here's our conversation with Bradley Makepeace, winemaker, Hugging Tree Winery. Bradley, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. You just disgorged a wine for us in the sink. I loved it.
Yeah, that was my first time actually disgorging.
That is so great. Well, let me tell you, I just stuck my nose in that wine, and it, you know, for the 40 years I've been here, not a lot of sparkling wine smells like that. It's really lovely.
Yeah, the 3-year Surly really does. Yeah. Add a lot.
We're jumping ahead, though. Let's back up a little bit. Let's tell people about Hugging Tree, where you are, and how you got started.
Well, both my parents were RCMP officers, and after my
yeah, that's a tough go.
it's they were really nice people. So if they were not nice, it would have accentuated that they were police officers, but they were really lovely people. But my dad knew that he wanted to use his words, heal his soul after doing that job. So he knew he wanted to grow something. So he bought an organic orchard, and his three adult children came back to help process the land and put in vineyard.
Yeah. So he was doing orchards, and then what, you made a decision to make wine too, or was he...
He knew he wanted to be in wine. Just the existing property they bought had an organic orchard on it,
right.
And that income helped supplement putting in the vineyard for sure. Yeah.
And so, is everybody involved in the business today?
Yes, we are very family owned and operated. My dad does the viticulture. I help him. He helps me in the winery when I need an extra set of hands.
Yeah.
My sister still works for me a couple days in the tasting room. She's got a great palate. I bring my blends by her.
Okay. So what's the ethos at Hugging Tree? What are you growing, and what's sort of the direction of the winery?
Well, we're kind of known for our bigger reds. We do the Bordeaux varietals. I do a Cab Sauv dominant Meritage blend with no Merlot in it.
Right. That's big.
Yeah. We have Syrah planted. Because we sold the original property and moved, we're waiting for this new vineyard to come online.
Okay, big reds, and then you brought this incredible Blanc de Blanc that we just opened. So let's start with that.
Yeah.
So this has been 3 years on the lease.
Yep.
That's a long time.
It took a lot of patience. My dad built the riddling racks. I hand-riddled it myself.
Wow.
And
so how often would you riddle, folks, when you spin the bottle and you agitate the lees inside the bottle? How often do you have to do that?
It depends on your life. When, you know, family business, you got to wear a lot of hats, and I got little ones running around. So if I got in there twice a day just to get that extra contact.
Oh, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, but because this was a small amount, I could go in and do them all in like 15 minutes.
Right.
And then, you know, some days I wouldn't get in there because, you know.
Yeah, life gets in the way.
Yeah, life happens.
Well, you got to teach those little guys how to spin them.
My son's interested. He likes being at the winery.
I remember the first meeting Riddlers in Champaign, and they were the highest paid people in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they all had wrist problems and elbow problems, and because they'd been rotating bottles their whole life, you know, down in the cellars. It was a really specific group of people.
Yeah.
But it is a great job. So this is 100% Chardonnay?
Yep.
And you're going to, it's almost, to me, it's done. Will you release it soon, or?
I'm
going to
release it on Canada Day.
Okay.
July 1st, which I'm really excited about.
And
so it's being disgorged in the third week in June.
Yeah. Does it have a name, or is it the Hugging Tree Blanc de Blanc?
Yeah,
or?
It's just Blanc de Blanc.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. And it's not a lot, though, I guess, the first one
is not. I just wanted to, you know, I'm playing with my parents' capital, so I don't like to take too big of experiments and not know what I'm doing. So,
well, you know, you got the tiny bubbles. That's the best start of all, because that gives you that it helps with the creamy texture, you know, it just lifts it just enough. And then the flavors are Chardonnay and almonds and a little bit of hazelnut, all that. All the good stuff is in there. I would suggest that this would probably be a lovely wine for the next 5 to 7 years at least.
Yeah.
For people who have a cellar.
It is a small lot, so I don't expect it'll last too long.
Yeah. Okay, so next up we have the 2022. This is the Riverbank Vineyard.
Yeah.
Great name. I love it.
Yes. Lovely people down at Riverbank. So when we were moving from one vineyard to the next, we needed grapes to sustain us, and lovely family, the Johnstons at Riverbank. But Pinot Gris was the challenge. I'm not really excited about Pinot Gris.
Well, you should be.
I just find it for my palate, it's really one-dimensional. So I'm really happy with the way this
came out. It doesn't look one-dimensional. It even has a hint of color to it as well.
Yeah, three-day skin contact.
Yeah. Well, let's have a look at that. It looks very interesting to me.
Yeah, I'm really happy with it. There's not a green apple note in sight.
So. Okay, there you go. See? And I was going to say that, you know, there's millions of Pinot Grigio from Italy, and I bet this wine is already better than most of those millions. So there's not that many people that are making really interesting Pinot Gris. So.
Yeah, that was what I wanted to do. So I did lots of lees stirring, and I even added a little of the Chardonnay lees from the Blanc de Blanc just to fatten up that body. And
that's delicious, man.
Yeah, thank you.
You have a nice touch, I can tell, just by tasting these two wines. Very gentle.
I appreciate your flattery.
No, it's really impressive. Is this out now, the 2022? Or?
It's actually being released tomorrow.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, let's talk about getting to Hugging Tree and visiting. What can people do there? Is it open every day, or how does it work?
We're open Thursday to Monday, 11 to 5.
Thursday to Monday, 11 to 5, and do you need a reso or anything, or you just drop by?
It's recommended, but, you know,
we
take walk-ins, too. It just depends on the day. You know, when the kids get out of school, it gets a lot busier, so a recommendation for a reservation helps.
Do people get to meet you when they're there? Or?
I'm there often, you know.
That's great. It's nice to get feedback from people while they're tasting, too, you know, if you're making the wine.
Yeah, I mean, I love interacting with people and talking about the wines, and I like that in this valley you can still know owners and winemakers when you visit through here.
Yeah. So the tastings are $10 to $20, and are you giving people a regal glass or something, or?
They can. You know what? I waive the tasting fee if any wine's bought, and you know what? It's been a long time.
You look like the kind of guy that would waive a tasting fee to me. That's so great.
Well, I mean, if they're buying wine, I'm not interested in grabbing a tasting fee, but that's just my personal preference. Yeah. Everyone's different.
So moving forward, what would be the future plans at Hugging Tree? You got vines coming in, and
yeah, we got Syrah planted up at on my property that I'm really excited about. It's a really rock oven up there, really hot, and I expect some nice pepper notes coming off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so Syrah, Pinot Gris, sparkling wine.
Yep, and the Bordeaux blends,
and the Bordeaux blends
with a lot of, like, my Bordeaux blend has like 13%. Malbec, 11% Petit Verdot, and no Merlot, so lots of Cab Sauv, so it's really smooth.
These wines are very impressive. I'm going to tell people to get over there immediately and start tasting these wines. Can they buy them online as well?
They can.
Okay.
info@huggingtreewinery.com.
That was Bradley Makepeace, winemaker, Hugging Tree Winery in the wild, windy, stony Similkameen Valley, a destination you must put on your list for 2024. Well, that's it for today's show. Great kickoff to the new year. Special thanks to our technical producer in Vancouver, Dwayne Bishop, assignment editor Sherry Caleb, and our director of operations, Stu Ferguson. Now, for all of us at the show, I'm Anthony Gismondi. Have yourself a great week ahead and an even better glass of wine.
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.